This is a podcast from RTE Radio 1.
A week can make a hell of a difference to Santa Baby. Remember last week how the main street of the town was in a state? Wire fences running the length of it while workmen laid a new pedestrian area. The shopkeepers were competing with out-of-town retail parks where you had room to walk. And they were bravely pumping out Santa Baby to compete with the diggers. Well, listen to Santa Baby this week. The choir from the local secondary school is on the steps of the church. The wire fences have gone. There's a lot more space on the street, and the building works have been suspended until January. The only high-vis vest is operating a small street-sweeping machine. Beside the church is a bank with a cash machine on the wall. There's a long queue at it. At the end of the queue is Neil. He's the man with the guitar you heard last week, whose partner Louise is due to give birth any minute.
She's grand, yeah. She's just waiting. She's ready to get it over with at this stage.
All right. But, what are you buying?
A bit of fish.
Oh, great.
The tea, yeah.
That can't be that fresh, the weather is so bad, is it? Have the fishermen been out at all the last couple of weeks?
Sure, that's probably farmed salmon.
Oh, I see.
Sure.
Louise emerges from the bank with free quality street sweets that the bank has in a bowl on the counter. Neil and Louise head off back to the terrace. The terrace is a street of 60-year-old pebble-dashed council houses in an Irish provincial town, and this programme follows some of the lives and some of the sounds on the street every week. The terrace is really only nodding to Christmas. Lots of houses have no decorations outside at all, or maybe one wreath or a little Santy stuck on the glass of the porch door. But the woman with the spiteful cat you heard last week hasn't held back. Her porch is stuffed with Christmas decorations. Santies and snowmen, they're all crowded into the porch area. There was a time when people preferred to move out of the smoke of the town to the country. But in the congested Ireland of the 21st century, the terrace is desirable. After all, it's only a short walk to the main shopping area. The school choir are still belting it out despite the miserable weather. And their pianist has her hands in under a cover, and the cover is protecting the keys from the rain. The seagulls have come inland. You may remember when this series first began, there was a teenage girl complaining that she had a headache from the late summer sun, and she laughed at the suggestion that she wear a hat to protect her head. Well now, in the middle of winter, with the rain and the cold pressing down on the town, the teenagers are still out without hats or even coats, some of them. And the same mammy-ish question gets the same response.
Can I ask you a stupid question?
What?
It's lashing rain.
Yeah?
Right. And why are people out with no hats and no coats on and their jumpers?
Because it beats doing schoolwork, that's why.
Won't you not wear your hat and a raincoat?
I won't be caught dead in a hat and my coat is in the wash.
The mood on the street is good.
He's really good, I think.
Although there's a worrying number of people coughing. It hasn't stopped raining for a month, so what do you expect? Those students who aren't singing are shaking collection boxes around the town.
Where's the pub? Is it Jennifer?
It is.
This is George and Louise doing a double act.
Thank you, guys. We are trying.
Great, thanks. The other Louise, the one who is about to give birth any day, is back at home on the terrace. This is Louise's first child, and if she goes over, the child will arrive around New Year's Day holidays. The child may not know it, but Louise has other plans for the new year other than hanging around the delivery suite of a hospital.
No, I have plans for that.
Neil and Louise are talking about the thoughts that come into your head when you think about the arrival of a new child.
I also think of the immensity of my own childhood and life up to now. It just seems, it's so long, so long a time. And you're going to be going through that minute by minute, day by day. But are you always responsible? Do you feel a responsibility?
Yeah, if you're a worrier, yeah.
Well, I'm not a worrier as such, but honestly, last week, all the stuff about the Rossport 5 angered me, and the stuff about Bertie Hearn, the stuff about the Quarry Vale fiasco.
Maybe it's the same for other people, but for Louise and Neil, these thoughts fall into various categories. For example, they think about the children in their family history.
My grandmother on my mother's side, she had lost her firstborn when he was only 9. He got polio and cancer. And I think, I just remember this story when I was younger, that he was brought to a doctor somewhere in Roscommon, and the doctor made him walk with no clothes on up and down the room and said, he's only a patha, or he's putting it on or something. To those, yeah. Imagine.
Neil and Louise also think about their own childhoods when they're thinking about the arrival of a new child.
Animals, I loved, even just seeing all the different kinds of them. And that thing of going to the zoo, you know, when you look at a zoo as an adult, you have to think of a whole load of issues maybe around a zoo. But when you're little, you just go and you see a penguin for the first time, or I mean, that's all so brilliant.
If they do worry about the child they're bringing into the world, Neil and Louise think about what will happen to the child when it leaves the house.
I found school quite terrifying at first. The discipline and how it was meted out, and then the code of conduct among fellas themselves and all that side of things. The rules of brute force and things like that I found very difficult to...
Give me an example of that.
Yeah, there's definitely one incident I can think of. The child was brought outside the classroom for punishment. We could see this lad getting bet round the corridor, and it was really shocking to see that. I mean, at this stage we would have been, I think we could have been 11, and I remember one Protestant boy in our class, everybody probably participated in teasing him or abusing him in some way. I mean, myself included, in the school came down very hard on it and sorted us all out on that front. But I suppose it's the Lord of the Flies element of children as well.
Back down in the main shopping street, the postman is happy.
Yeah, taking along nicely.
Yeah. What we do. If we have us for Christmas, we'd be broke.
He's pushing the post bags around on a sort of golf trolley.
It's newly brought in, it's just for handy's sake. Right, you get two bags on, stuff's there, just take some stress off your back. And so, a lot of back injuries and on post, so.
The Americans have that, don't they?
Yeah. Even collections, which is just done at Christmas. Normally it's done in a van, but the way traffic is at the moment, it's just handier to walk across and do it ourselves.
The secondary school choir have finished, and so have their collectors, but two other groups have moved in to take their place. Across from the church, a man in his 50s is busking. He's got a sports jacket and a baseball cap on. He's joined by two other fellas. One of them, the noisy one, must be about 6'3" or 6'4". On the steps of the church are a pile of blankets. The rain has stopped, but they're on the wet ground. The local homeless charity is organising an all-night sleepout. This is Francis.
We do this to raise money for the hostel. We have a hostel for 22 men. We're usually full.
Are you?
Yes, we're usually full.
Oh, really?
At this time of the year...
Why does such a small town have so many homeless men?
Well, we would take all people. Anyone who's homeless may present or be referred.
Okay, so people passing through the town would come here?
Yes, as well as local people that may have been working abroad and returned. We also have people who have just been down on their luck.
Beside the sleepout collectors, staff from the pound shop are taking the plastic off two large pallets of boxes that are sitting on the footpath.
Christmas items.
Christmas items, all right. Cheney Mac. Thanks.
As they work, a woman passes by with a very elaborate Christmas decoration.
It's just a Christmas arrangement.
It's kind of a pyramid, a tall pyramid, and it has a star on the top of it.
Yeah.
And it's about 3 feet, 4 feet high.
You know, I don't understand about feet.
Oh, sorry.
Because I am originally from Lithuania and we use meters.
So how many?
It's about 1 meter and maybe 20 centimeters.
And it has beautiful red. They're like orchids, aren't they?
No, they are anthuriums.
anthuriums.
Yeah, and they are cream roses and a lot of greenery.
And it's got pine cones painted silver.
Yes, yeah.
Are you, is that for you? Is that yours?
No, yeah, I am making. I'm working in flower shop.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Will you go home for Christmas to Lithuania?
No, I will stay in Ireland.
Will you?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I'm going home like 5 times per year. Ah. You know what it means. But Christmas time, it's so busy in the shop. I have no day off, no holidays. It's just a busy.
The midwife who took the class was brilliant and full of enthusiasm. Those one topic was glossed over, I thought, a bit.
Back up on the terrace, Neil is telling a story about the antenatal classes. He says it sounds like a frivolous story, but he uses it to make a serious point.
The final topic was the sexual relationship between the couple once the baby is home, and that people will be tired.
So
as soon as the video stopped, I thought, oh, well, this is... I wouldn't mind if a bit of a discussion got going about this, but it was not even nipped in the bud. It was an arch manoeuvre of the video stopped and out came the tutor and said, now these are clamps for the umbilicus. One goes here and they slice in the middle. Any more questions? That's it. Bring your partners out for dinner next week because there's no class and that's it. All the best and very luck to you. And that was the end of that.
So you're the love of Zeus.
I never got the chance. And that it turned out to be true insofar as the feeling that I had when I realised we would be going to have a baby, that you think about... Well, this is the way it happened to me. I know it sounds probably very selfish, but you straight away I was thinking, well, what's going to happen to me? Like, is this the end of something that... Well, you can look at yourself maybe as a piece of work that you've spent maybe 10 years... trying to develop sides of yourself and facets to yourself, and then you go, well, actually, I'm not going to have any time for that anymore. And you think, well, why did I bother if you're looking at it in a bleak way? But that's, I suppose, even the reason why the topic of the couple continuing their relationship or their sexual relationship, all those things, is that you, just by dint of becoming a parent, I would hope that that doesn't mean you're automatically supposed to sign off on who you are as a person.
It's just when people say, you won't actually even want to go out. And that kind of thing makes you go, why not? You know, why? Because you can't have a little universe here with yourself and your baby. And a couple of my friends seem to be perfectly happy to live 24 hours with the baby. And maybe it's only a period they're going through, but it doesn't seem all that healthy.
Then the other thing was, I remember Philip Larkin... He was arranging to go over to friends of his who had children, and he'd sent this telegram. Was, you can expect us at 8:30. Trust the children will be chloroformed. I need a lot of sleep to be as relaxed as I am. So,
next week, Christmas and New Year on the terrace. By the way, this programme is available as a podcast on rte.ie, and that means even if you don't have an MP3 player, you can go and click on each individual programme, and it's a very good way to listen to them. And it's also available on iTunes.
You've been listening to a podcast from RTE Radio 1. For more details of our podcasts, visit rte.ie/radio1.